Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text is the last two verses of Malachi chapter 4. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. The time has come to stop maligning Malachi. Too often, this prophet, whose name itself means my messenger, has been misunderstood and considered least because he's last. For instance, in the three-year lectionary, you won't even find these words. They didn't make the cut. The reason that you hear them today is that on Wednesdays, we use the less common one-year cycle. And when we open our Bibles and look at Malachi chapter 4, is it really Malachi chapter 4? Open your Hebrew Bible and you discover that Malachi chapter 4 isn't even there. It doesn't exist. These are simply the last six verses of chapter 3. Well, with this kind of notoriety, it's not surprising that some time ago, a noted Old Testament scholar reluctantly declined the invitation to write a commentary on Malachi, simply saying, I don't want to go through all that work writing a commentary and then have nobody read it. What a loss. Not just the loss of a commentary, but the loss of the message of my messenger, Malachi. It's time to stop maligning Malachi. At least it's time for me to stop maligning Malachi. Because before I become too much more militant about my newfound cause, I must confess that I am one who has too often ignored this prophet, misunderstood this prophet, and chronically misinterpreted the words of Malachi. You see, for some perverse reason, I have always wanted to preach on this text. But now when I have studied it, you see, this is what happened. I came expecting to find a curse, but instead found a blessing. I came looking for a hammer to crush sinners. And behold, I found the hope of repentance for the generations. Now, I'm not sure when my prejudice over Malachi first began. As I think back, probably there was some time when some helpful soul, wanting to enlighten me about the superiority of the New Testament over the Old Testament, my apologies to half of the exegetical department, but who told me, just look it up for yourself. Look at the end of both Testaments and you'll see New Testament's gospel, Old Testament's law. In the New Testament, the last verse is a blessing, and the New Testament ends with the word amen. In the Old Testament, the last verse is a threat, and the Old Testament ends with the word curse. Enough said. And in those formative years, there it was, developed, etched into my mind, the idea that Malachi is a threat. His message is an accusation, and his purpose is to curse. Now, that's not to say that there is not law in Malachi and that there is no threat in Malachi. No, the prophet is very explicit in denouncing the deceptive sacrifices taking place on the part of the people, bringing the lame and the halt for the sacrifice. He accuses them quite clearly of robbing God in their offerings, of dishonoring marriage by their divorce practice, of wearying God with their hypocrisies. He's clear that judgment will come, and when it comes, it's going to be like a furnace that's going to burn up the wicked and the evildoer, leaving them no branch or root, nothing but ashes. Perhaps then it was even the strong presentation of Malachi's attack on the errors of Israel that led me in my own misinterpretation. For you see, when I read these verses about how the work of Elijah would turn the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the children, the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers, somehow I understood that to be just one of the most difficult aspects of the curse at the end of time. For you see, what's happening here is that the adults, the fathers, would become childlike and childish. And the children would be robbed of their innocence and forced to become adults too soon, taking upon themselves adult behaviors, adult decisions, adult responsibilities. What a fine picture this would make of the tribulation at the end of time, culture in chaos, immature youth held as the ideal, while adults abdicate their responsibilities. And would not that be a telling picture of what would happen at the end of time? Adults playing with their expensive toys while children are forced to care for themselves. Cities borrowing millions in order to build sports stadiums while their school systems lose their accreditation. This inversion of adult responsibilities in the state of childhood is just what George Will happened to comment on in an editorial page in the December 6th Newsweek. For there, he thinks our culture is starting to look at children as if they are adults. And he made this comment: when children are regarded as little adults, adults become childish. Adults who are childish, children forced to become adults, the end times, today's times. But guess what? As appealing as this interpretation might be, and as easy as it is in its application, it's wrong. This isn't what Malachi is talking about. It's not what Malachi is foretelling. I came to this text expecting a curse and instead found a blessing. I came looking for a hammer to crush the sinner, and behold, I found hope of repentance for the generations. What is the blessing? Well, as Malachi in his prophetic vision has the things that happen close by and the things happening far at a distance collapsing one upon the other, we discover that this isn't a happening that's taking place at the very end of time for the second coming. No, what's going on here between fathers and their children is something that's been going on ever since the words that Gabriel spoke to Zechariah, quoting Malachi, were fulfilled. Because John came into the desert preaching repentance, the angel told Zechariah, he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Elijah's coming is not signaling generational mayhem. The hearts of the fathers aren't turned into the hearts of the children or vice versa. No, the word turn here is the same Hebrew word that is used for return. It's the root word for what we call repentance, a returning to the Lord Himself. This is not turning into, or turning against, or turning in spite of. It's turning with, in repentance, to the Lord. This is a turning toward each other in repentance to the preaching of the promised Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In fact, one commentator even translated the words this way: to turn the hearts of the fathers together with that of the children. This is hope. For where there is repentance, there can be forgiveness. And this is the message of Malachi. Mark wrote, John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. There they were, crowds of people, hearing the word preached in the power and spirit of Elijah, and they were repenting of their sins. Multi-generational crowds repenting of their sins. And then there came that special day when John saw him coming in the distance. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the eyes of all the crowd, the multi-generational crowd, turned and looked and saw Jesus. Crowds are still turning and looking and seeing Jesus. Because preachers and teachers, using the Word of God and teaching it in its truth and purity, and the Holy Spirit working through that Word, continues to bring generations together in repentance to the Lord. The Holy Spirit turns generations away from their idols, be it the stock market idol of the baby boomer generation, or the internet idol of the Generation X generation, or the institutional idols of the GI generation. The Holy Spirit leads the generations to repent of their sins, be it the sin of neglecting family of the boomer generation, or the sin of chronic cynicism of the Gen X generation, or the sin of despair of the GI generation that can't understand the culture that now surrounds them. But perhaps even deeper, the personal repentance for the individual sins that each carries in his or her heart. So you see, we all turn together in repentance to the same promise, the same hope, the same Jesus. I came to this text expecting a curse and found a blessing. I came looking for a hammer to crush sinners, and behold, I found hope of repentance for the generations. It is time to stop maligning Malachi. Amen.